Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll look at two verses tonight, verses 7 and 8. I'll read verse number 7, if then you'll join me on verse number 8. We'll look there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Stand with me if you would, please. I'll begin there at verse number 7. Join me in verse number 8, chapter number 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a great time this is, Lord, when we're able to remember. And, Lord, just remember what you've done for us. Lord, what you've done for us all as a world, but, Lord, what you've done for us individually. Lord, how you thought about each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that you please help us at this time, Lord, to think about what you've done. Help us as we just think about the cross and that you went for us. Pray, Lord, that you bless the special music and then be with the preaching. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
From the time I woke this morning till the day was past and gone, Satan tried to tell me that victory would not come. I just went into my secret place, called upon sweet Calvary's Lamb. My soul was filled with glory when I remembered who I am. I am heir of God, heir to Christ through the royal blood set free. I am more than just a conqueror, I am one of the redeemed. A stranger to this land, how heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember who I am. The world has tried to tell me that my hope is all in vain. Oh, but they don't know the power that I have through Jesus' name. My soul, it has been redeemed. The price was paid by Calvary's Lamb. His Spirit tells me I am His when I remember just who I am. I'm an heir of God, heir to Christ through the royal blood set free. I am more than just a conqueror, I am one of the redeemed. I am of a royal priesthood, a stranger to this land. How heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember who I am. I am of a royal priesthood, a stranger to this land. How heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember who I am.
Amen. Good song tonight for us. All right. I enjoy this service four times a year and looking forward tonight to gather around the table together to remember what the Lord Jesus did for us through His body and His shed blood. We're going to talk about that table tonight out of the passage here in 1 Corinthians 5. And the title of the lesson before we have the supper tonight is Not at My Table. Not at My Table. You ever use those words? Not at My Table. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for the good song we just enjoyed, and so much of what they said in that song is all of it is because of your grace and mercy. We are nothing without you. Help us always to remember that. Help me tonight, dear Lord, as I get into the message. I pray that your Spirit will control my mind, my words, and Lord, all of our hearts that we might think together on these important matters. This is such an important service. It's such an important ordinance. May we get out of it tonight everything you want us to have for this particular hour. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. In a few weeks, we're going to be entering into the holiday season. Just a few weeks away now. And I don't know anybody who doesn't enjoy the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. The cold weather might be the one factor that we would rather not experience. But even that, to some degree, adds to the ambiance of the celebrations. Now, a staple at both of these special holiday times is the eating. The eating, I think you would say an amen to that, all right? We should probably call it feasting because that's a better description of what goes on when families come together on these occasions. Extra food is prepared and usually lots of it. Caution is thrown to the wind when it comes to diet. And splurging is the order of the day. Amen. So that's what is the norm. Now, of course, all of this takes place at the table, which itself is set with more care and special seasonal decor. And then the people gather at the table. But they aren't just people. They are special people because usually they are family. Family. So there are dads. And their moms, and their children, and their granddads and grandmoms, and their grandchildren, and their in-laws, and in some cases, great-grandchildren, and cousins, and aunts, and uncles, and on we could go. For some, because of geographical distances, that particular table is the only place they will sit with that specific group in a calendar year. It could be a lot of folks in the church. The only time you see some of your relatives is at Thanksgiving or Christmas because of the geographical distance that separates you. And all of those things create the atmosphere of a feast, and everyone has a special time together. Now, the last thing you want at the table during holiday season is tension. Last thing you want is trouble. You know, and sad to say, not all families have a peaceful existence. There are some families who the extended family members aren't, they don't get along that well with each other. And sad to say, probably, and I guess in some cases, even the immediate family members don't get along that well together. And so there's no peace between those members of the family. Now, if the host, the granddad, or the dad, whoever it is, if the host senses that there is potential for tension and trouble at the table, he may go to the people who would be given to it, and he may say to them in advance, listen, not at my table. Right? Not at my table. You don't get along with your uncle, you don't get along with your sister-in-law, you don't get along with this one or that one, but it's Christmas, it's Thanksgiving, it's special, not at my table. I don't think that would be unusual. I think probably that would happen if it need to be. Now, keep that in mind for just a few minutes tonight as we drop into the passage of Scripture here. In this chapter, Paul has the unfortunate responsibility of advising the Corinthian church on how to discipline a non-repentant member who has committed a heinous immorality. We won't go into all that tonight. But you read about it in verse number 1, okay? Now, in order to keep the purity of the church, the sinning member has to be put out of the membership. Look at verse number 2. Paul said, do you not know, I'm sorry, verse chapter 5, verse number 2, I was in chapter 6 for a minute there. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Paul says you need to, for the purity of the church, you need to put this unrepentant member out of the membership. Now, folks, we've been on this subject before. Let me just say it again. This was a drastic consequence for this unrepentant man. Because in putting him out of the membership, they were effectively turning him over to Satan. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4 in the passage here. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You couldn't. If that man was a born-again Christian who'd gotten involved in that awful immorality, his spirit, his soul was saved. And like I said this morning, saved forever. And he wasn't going to lose that salvation. But Paul said, when you put him out of the church membership and the church fellowship, you make him open game to satanic attack. Because that church acts as an umbrella. That church acts as a canopy. That church acts as a hedge of protection for its members. Think about that before you just, blow out a church and decide I'm never going back again. You got to think about that. That church is a protective hedge, okay? And so he said here, you're going to put him out of the church. That was unbelievably a drastic consequence for that unrepentant man. Just folks, again, I just say this from time to time, do not take lightly your relationship with your church. Because it's a protective umbrella for you. Now, look at verses number 7 and 8 here that we read a minute ago. He goes on to say, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. One of the reasons the sinning member should be removed from the fellowship was to protect the integrity of the feast. And the feast he's talking about here is not, even though he mentions the Passover, he just uses the Passover as an illustration. The feast he's referring to here is the feast that they knew as the Lord's Supper. Now, it wasn't a feast in the sense that you and I think of the word feast. When you and I think of the word feast, we think of an abundance of, like I talked about earlier, an abundance of food. But this was a time when the church would get together and they would have the bread and they would have the juice and they would remember the Lord's death. And Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper, the feast being the Lord's Supper. And Paul uses the example of leaven to encourage them to not only remove the sinning man from their church membership, but remove any unclean thing from your own heart. Remove anything from your own heart. Not just the man out of the membership of the church who is unrepentant about his sin, but, like we preached this morning, check your own hearts and how are you with God? How's your relationship with the Lord? Have you gone on with unconfessed sin? Days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks. Have you tried to cover something up and just ignore it? God put His finger on it. Nah, I won't worry about it. We kind of got our life and our comfort zone. We just kind of go along. And we neglect to deal with what God puts His finger on. And He says, purge that out. Get it out. Not only get the sinning member out of the church, but get the sin out of your own hearts. Now, folks, the Jews, the Jews were not allowed to eat any leaven with their Passover meal. Because leaven is symbolic of sin in the Bible. And the bread served at the Passover was not to contain leaven. It was to be without leaven. Now, as New Testament believers, they were not under the Jewish ordinances of the Passover. Because they were New Testament believers. But when it came to sin, now don't miss this, they were under greater demand to be right as a church and as individuals, because their Passover lamb was Jesus Christ. Not some four-legged animal. The Jews celebrated Passover with a picture. A four-legged lamb who was a type and foreshadow of the real Lamb of God who would come to take away the sins of the world. That's what the Passover was. It was a picture, was foreshadowing Jesus Christ. The Passover, these Corinthians were to remember, was not the death and shed blood of a four-legged lamb. The Passover, these church members were to remember, was the death and bloodshed of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And they would come together to remember His death, His blood, and to remember Him. Now, in light of that, Paul says, purge out the sinning member, and while you're at it, purge out the sin out of your own hearts. You don't want to compromise the sacredness of the Lord's table. You don't want to do that. You don't want tension. You don't want something unconfessed and not dealt with at the Lord's table. Now, the thing I want to show you tonight, Paul specifically mentions something in verse number 8 that's interesting. He refers to the sin of malice. Look at it there in the middle of the verse. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with that church member who's unrepentant, and not with the old leaven of sin in our hearts, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Now, he refers to wickedness, which I believe is a general reference to the wicked sin of the unrepentant member. Get that wickedness out. But he mentions the sin of malice, the leaven of malice. And that's really my focus tonight for this brief message. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, malice is extreme enmity of heart, a spirit of revenge or spite. And don't forget that this was the church that was particularly guilty of divisions. Remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So this church was given to divisions. This church was given to contention between the members. And it's like Paul is saying to them here, not at the Lord's table. Don't you bring that to the Lord's table. You purge out the old leaven, that old wicked, that great wickedness of that unrepentant member of the church who won't reconcile with God and get right and make himself right with the church. You purge him out of the membership, but then you purge your own hearts because you're unleavened too. You're saved too. And don't you bring some old leaven, don't you bring some old leaven of malice with you to the Lord's table. Now, look folks, what were they divided over? They were divided over who influenced them. They were divided over this and divided over Paul's ministry and Peter's ministry and Apollos' ministry and this and that. The truth is, they could have been at odds over how to handle this sinning member. Maybe some of the church thought, he should be put out. And others in the church thought, no, he should be given another chance. And maybe just deciding to agree to disagree, they grew full of malice toward each other. And Paul basically said, don't come to the table of the Lord in that condition. I want tension at my table. What, do you want tension at your table? How you doing? Hey, it don't even have to be Christmas. It don't have to be Thanksgiving. You don't want tension at your table. You don't want division amongst the family at your table. And this is what we are, folks. We are a family here. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. And this is His table. And He says, you know what? People are different and they're made up of different, you know, backgrounds and cultures and strengths and weaknesses. And in the membership, within the realm of the membership of a church, the potential is there for divisions. And it could get even more serious than just a disagreement. It could become something like a grudge or a bitter thing or some ugly old spirit. He said, don't you bring that to the Lord's table. Don't you bring that to the Lord's table. Put that away. Put that away. Like the Jews put away leaven from the ingredients to make their bread for the Passover, you put away the leaven of malice from your heart. People, the Passover that the Old Testament Jews celebrated was the blood of a mere animal. That Hebrews says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But we celebrate the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Passover that we celebrate demands a higher level of right. Don't you bring tension and ugliness and spite and the leaven of malice in your heart to the Lord's table. You're coming to a table to celebrate a feast, not a feast where you overeat and drink for a special holiday celebration, but one where you and I remember the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And Paul told the church here, he said, in light of that feast, in light of the Lord's Supper, I want you to remove all malice from your heart. The feast, the integrity of the feast demands it. Don't compromise the feast. Now people, listen. Christ deserves better than having His people come together at His table with ugliness in their hearts toward each other. Deserves better than that. You say, what do you know? I don't know anything. Except for we're people. And when you got this many people coming to church as much as we come to church over and over and over and over and over and over again, and our children interacting and sometimes our grandchildren interacting with each other, the potential is always there for somebody to be miffed at somebody else. Always there for somebody to be mad or upset. And it could go beyond being mad or upset to settling into the heart in the spirit of malice. And that this is the table of the Lord. And Paul is saying in advance of the Lord's Supper, Jesus doesn't want that at His table. Don't bring that to His table. This is the table of the Lord. Let's treat it as such. Uncover any sin and confess it to God so He can cover it with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And especially put away any malice toward another member. And I think this is a problem, as I said earlier, I think this is a potential problem among people in churches today. Are there members here who are hanging on to old grudges? Are there members here who are still nursing old wounds? Are there members here fertilizing old ugly spirits toward other members? Folks, do you know that you can't hide bitterness? You can't hide it. Peter said to Simon in Acts chapter 8, verse 23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." See, Peter could see and hear the fruits of bitterness coming from Simon. You can't hide bitterness. It seeps out in words. It seeps out in actions. And you may think that you are keeping it from view, but you are not. It is impossible to hide bitterness completely. Impossible. It breaks out in some form or the other. And I want you to think about this for a minute. Malice is more of a sin of the Spirit than an action. It's a very interesting verse. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4 for just a minute. Turn in your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter 4, to a verse that you know well. Ephesians chapter 4, but the wording of it got in my head this week as I was getting ready for this lesson. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me please at verse number 41, okay? It's verse number 31. Chapter 4, verse number 31. So Paul says here to the Ephesian church in chapter 4, verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So if you have a spirit of malice, it's going to be revealed in malicious behavior. Put anger, put bitterness away, and when you put bitterness away, make sure that you ask God to take away the malice as well, because malice is the spirit that drives the bitterness. When you put your anger away, when you put your wrath away, don't forget to put away also the malice, because it's the spirit of malice that drives the anger and drives the wrath. It's the spirit. It's a malicious spirit of ugliness that gets down inside God's people. And Jesus says, very plainly, don't bring that to my table. And folks, I think that resonates with us. If we don't want that at our tables, that table's where our families gather. And Jesus doesn't want it at His table. And you know, the only way to put away malice is found in verse number 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The only way to put away malice is with kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. And what better place to practice kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness than at the Lord's table? Because this is symbolic of the kindness and tenderness and forgiveness that you and I have received from Jesus Christ, that none of us deserved. None. Folks, if forgiveness is a matter of deserving it, let's pack up and go home. Forgiveness is just a matter of God doing out of a kind and tender heart for Jesus' sake. You got something ugly down in your soul tonight? Give it up. Don't bring it to His table. For His sake, put it away. The Lord doesn't want any problems at His table. He doesn't want tension. This is a time when the family gathers together for an occasion that's far more special than Thanksgiving or Christmas. This is a time when the family of the Lord gathers together here to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And He deserves better than members sitting across the auditorium from each other who are carrying some old ugly spirit that you think you're covering up, but sometimes reveals itself when pressure's put on. Get rid of it. Put it away. That's what He said. Here are the ingredients for the bread. Uh-oh, leaven. We got to put that away. That can't be a part of the bread for the Passover. Put the leaven away. Here's malice in your heart. Put it away. Give it up tonight. Give it over to God. Get rid of it. Jesus deserves better than having that at His table. Not at my table. By the way, Paul goes on to tell him in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that when they eat and drink unworthily, they eat and drink damnation to themselves. And that's why some among you are sick. And some are weak. And some even sleep. Because the Lord's very serious about it. And then you can think, well, you know what? If that's the case, then I'm just not going to come to the Lord's table. I'm sure that pleases the Father. How would you feel if one of your children just didn't come to the table? Because they didn't want to be sitting across from you know who. That wouldn't help. That you wouldn't be pleased. I will tell you something, folks. God is not the Lord Jesus. This is His table. And He doesn't want His people coming to His table with a heart full of ugliness towards some other Christian person. I have had disagreements with people sitting in this room tonight. Over the 25 plus years that I've been here, I've had disagreements with people sitting in this room tonight. There never has been a disagreement with a brother or a sister in Christ that has gotten so deep in my soul that I am ugly in my spirit toward anybody in this church. And I can say that before God tonight. And I would not want to bring that spirit to the table of the Lord. Purge that out. Want to have a great time? At Thanksgiving or Christmas, get the family together and no tension, no ugliness, and enjoy it. Want to have a great time at the table of the Lord tonight? Get rid of that malice. Part with it. Turn it over to God. Put it under the blood. Let it go. Release it. It's not worth it. He deserves better than that. Not at my table. Not at my table. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to be right with You. Lord, we don't deserve the salvation that You so graciously have given us, and it's impossible for us with this sin nature to live, Lord, without sin reigning in our lives to some degree. But Lord, at this special time of the year, when we gather around again Your table, Lord Jesus, we want to be as clean as possible. Would You reach down tonight, Lord, and put Your finger on anything in our hearts that's displeasing to You? And Lord, if there's somebody sitting here tonight, Lord, with the spirit of bitterness and malice, or anger and malice, or wrath or clamor and malice, God, would You please help that person tonight to reach down through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and release that ugly old spirit. Turn it loose. God, help us not to bring that to Your table. May this be a wonderful celebration of remembering the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. May there be peace and unity among the membership. And joy, the joy of the Lord in our hearts as we think about what Jesus did so that we could be saved. And then, Lord, may it not just be for this special occasion, but may it linger. May we continue on as a church, as a family, a spiritual family, in harmony together. As Your people, having received the gift of salvation, never deserving it for one second, but because You were kind and tender-hearted, You forgave us. Help us to practice that with each other. May it be so, I pray in Jesus' name.